It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. It is the morning after what a lot of people are calling chaos in South Carolina last night. What we're talking about is the latest debate amongst the Democrat candidates for president. And it was chaos last night. Not sure if you stayed up late enough to see it all, but let me first play you a little montage. When I talk about chaos, this is actually what it sounded like most of the night. Cut number 11.
Hey, Bernie, I was talking about Senator Sanders. If you get nominated,
we'll be relitigating this all year.
Do what I ask.
Look, first of all,
we'd ask respectfully if you would all please try to keep to the time.
Good idea.
So let's clear this up once and for all.
He has gotten funding from over 50 billionaires.
Senator,
I don't know where you got the impression.
If you could honor the rules of the debate, thank you,
Senator. Senator Sanders, we would like to allow you to begin. Moderator, guys.
Doesn't that instill confidence in you? That's what it was like last night. Now, this was a debate hosted by CBS News. And for the most part, in that little montage, you heard moderators Gail King and Nora O'Donnell. And they are amongst those being criticized because they could not control these folks at the podiums last night. They were out of control most of the time, despite their efforts to make them obey, because they supposedly had a minute and 15. They were supposed to, when they're asked a question, you respond, and then there was like 45 seconds. And the rules right off the bat just thrown right out the window, and you had this chaos over and over and over again. But there were times when it was a pretty good demonstration on where these folks stand ideologically. We want to go through a little bit of this with you this morning. And Bernie Sanders, who is deemed, I guess, the front runner because of his performance thus far, and the fact that his polling numbers heading into the South Carolina primary, which is coming up this Saturday, his numbers have gone up. Joe Biden's numbers have gone down. I think Biden a few weeks ago was polling like at 30%, and he's dropped down to 5-6% in some of the latest polls. So a lot of people think that this is a must-win for Joe Biden. Now, a lot of people say Joe Biden did better last night than he did in the debate a week ago prior to the Nevada caucuses. But Bernie Sanders, there's no question, he was center on the stage, and a lot of people were focusing on him. Sanders continues to defend what a lot of people call his radical ideas. And at one point last night, Sanders said, "It's a misconception that my ideas are radical." Cut number 4.
Misconception.
Yes.
Misconception, and you're hearing it here tonight, is that the ideas I'm talking about are radical. They're not. In one form or another, they exist in countries all over the world. Healthcare is a human right. We have the necessity, the moral imperative to address the existential threat of climate change. Other countries are doing that. We don't need more people in jail, disproportionately African American, than any other country on earth. Not a radical idea. The motto, the saying that moves me the most is from Nelson Mandela. And Mandela said, "Everything is impossible until it happens." And that means if we have the guts to stand up to powerful special interest, we're doing phenomenally well. If we can bring working people together, black and white and Latino, we can create a nation.
All right, Senator.
Where
Sanders,
all people have a good
Senator
standard
Warren,
of living.
Sir.
Now, at one point, Sanders was asked about the fact that the economy, the question came from one of the CBS moderators, that the economy is doing extremely well. In fact, better than it has done in years. And we've reported on over the last several weeks the fact that the unemployment rate for white people, for black people, for Hispanic people, at historic lows, in some cases at 50-year lows. So Sanders was asked about that because he wants to change the way our economy works in a very radical fashion. You know by now he's promising free tuition, Medicare for all, take everybody off their private insurance, etc., etc., forgive tuition loans, all of that sort of thing. Stuff that will cost, he admits, trillions of dollars. So when he was asked last night about the fact of where the economy is, the Dow Jones up over 10,000 points, says the President Trump came into office, people's 401k doing well, unemployment rate really low, all of that sort of thing. Here's cut number six. This is Sanders saying the economy is only doing well for one group of people. Cut six.
Senator Sanders, we haven't had a national unemployment rate this low for this long in 50 years. Here in South Carolina, the unemployment rate is even lower. How will you convince voters that a Democratic socialist can do better than President Trump with the economy?
Well, you're right. The economy is doing really great for people like Mr. Bloomberg and other billionaires. In the last three years, billionaires in this country saw an $850 billion increase in their wealth. But you know what? For the ordinary American, things are not so good. Last year, real wage increases for the average worker were less than 1%. Half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck. 87 million Americans have no health insurance or are underinsured. 45 million people are struggling with student debt. 500,000 people tonight are sleeping out on the street, including 30,000 veterans. That is not an economy that's working for the American people. That's an economy working for the 1%. We're going to create an economy for all, not just wealthy campaign contributors.
All right, there you have it. That's Bernie Sanders with his version of what he thinks is reality when it comes to our economy. But the stats, these just aren't Republican stats, totally disagree with him on that. He says it's only working for billionaires. That is simply not true. And as I was saying, the unemployment rates, we reported on it, 50-year lows across the board for all sectors of our society. You know, this is why, quite frankly, amongst African Americans, Donald Trump's popularity is going up because they see the reality, the impact of his economic moves. A lot of people are scared that if Bernie Sanders was elected president, all of that will be wiped out. And it has to be because Bernie Sanders has already said publicly that anybody making over $29,000 a year is going to face a tax increase. He's talked about that. So it's really interesting. And last night, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, on the stage last night. He got to speak every now and then. And he is drawing a contrast between if Bernie Sanders is elected president versus Donald Trump. And he's saying the American people are having a problem with that because there is such a vast difference between those two, a radical difference certainly where Sanders wants to take the country. So here's Pete Buttigieg, candidate Buttigieg, talking about Imagine 2020 with Sanders and Trump. Cut number seven.
I'll tell you what the Russians want. They don't have a political party. They want chaos. And chaos is what is coming our way. I mean, look, if you think the last 4 years has been chaotic, divisive, toxic, exhausting, imagine spending the better part of 2020 with Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump. Think about what that will be like for this country. And meanwhile, folks at home, from South Carolina to South Bend are trying to figure out what any of this means for us. Because it's right that there is a progressive majority, an American majority, that wants to see real change, wants to see wages go up and go up faster than the cost of health and saving for retirement. But also there's a majority of the American people who I think right now just want to be able to turn on the TV, see their president, and actually feel their blood pressure go down a little bit instead of up through the roof.
So that's Buttigieg trying to sell himself as a more moderate candidate than Bernie Sanders. But, you know, he talks about the last 3.5, 4 years as being chaotic and divisive. Well, the reason it's been chaotic and divisive is the Democrats have been wanting to impeach President Trump from day one. That impeachment move didn't just start several months ago. They wanted to impeach this president since day one. And with the help of the media, that is what has created the chaos. The numbers, the facts do not add up to what these Democrat candidates are saying. And he talks about, you know, people want to turn on the TV and not have their blood pressure go up. Well, their blood pressure goes up because of the continuous attack of the Democrats on what this president is doing. Just like Bernie Sanders was trying to convince the American people that only billionaires are benefiting from this economy. It is simply not true. Well, Elizabeth Warren was out there last night. She's regarded as slightly, not quite as dramatically left as Bernie Sanders, okay? So Bernie Sanders, extreme left, and Elizabeth Warren tries to sell herself as not so left. And she was trying to make that point last night. Cut number 5.
The way I see this is that Bernie is winning right now because the Democratic Party is a progressive party, and progressive ideas are popular ideas, even if there are a lot of people on this stage who don't want to say so. You know, but Bernie and I agree on a lot of things, but I think I would make a better president than Bernie. And the reason for that is that getting a progressive agenda enacted is going to be really hard, and it's going to take someone who digs into the details to make it happen. Bernie and I both wanted to help rein in Wall Street. In 2008, we both got our chance. But I dug in, I fought the big banks, I built the coalitions, and I won. Bernie and I both want to see universal health care, but Bernie's plan doesn't explain how to get there, doesn't show how we're going to get enough allies into it, and doesn't show enough about how we're going to pay for it. I dug in, I did the work, and then Bernie's team trashed me for it. We need a president who is going to dig in, do the hard work, and actually get it done. Progressives have got one shot, and we need to spend it with a leader who will get something done.
Now, what does Senator Warren mean by progressives? I mean, she's trying to sell the idea that America really wants progressive ideas, progressive policies. Well, for number one, Sanders and Warren agree on they want Medicare for all. That's what they're saying. Now, of course, what they don't like to talk about is how to pay for this. Now, they have the little line that says we're going to tax the billionaires. But everybody will have to pay for that, folks. Bernie Sanders has said, as I just mentioned a moment ago, anybody making over $29,000 will face a tax increase. They want free tuition, college, university tuition. That's one of their promises. But somebody has to pay for that. And then, of course, they want to forgive any kind of student loans that are out there. You're talking hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars. It has to come from somewhere. Progressive ideas mean much higher taxes, but they don't want to talk about that. All right, when we come back, more from last night's debate. Most people think that former Vice President Joe Biden did a better job, although I think his handlers told him, be angry every time you talk, because that's what you saw last night. So we'll talk about a little bit about Joe Biden, but also more reaction on what they're promising in the way of schools and reaction to what Bernie Sanders had to say about Israel. All right, much more here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Brett sitting in for Sandy. Don't go away. We'll be back in a few minutes.
8 Days of Hope needs volunteers to help flood victims in Jackson, Mississippi. Efforts will continue through March 14th.
Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn more and volunteer. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change, and you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided, but bring your own bedding. Come help flood victims in Jackson, Mississippi. Visit 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Douglas Domenech, Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Insular Affairs. Mr. Domenech works on behalf of the territories of the United States. Psalm 115, verse 16, reminds us of the responsibility given to us by God. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to mankind. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Douglas Domenech as he serves our country and its territories. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. Facebook is using an organization run by former CNN staffers to target conservative journalists and opinion pages. Over the past several months, a number of leading conservative websites, including ToddStarnes.com, have been hit by false allegations from a company called LeadStories.com. The company was co-founded by a former CNN executive, and they employ a number of former CNN staffers to root out what they call fake news. Facebook leadership has been in touch with us over the matter. So far, they have been sympathetic to our plight. However, the problem has not been resolved, and as a result, our Facebook page has basically been neutralized. So we are urging all of you to go to my website, ToddStarnes.com, sign up for my free newsletter. It's the only way to get around big tech's censorship. Hiring a company run by former CNN staffers to crack down on fake news? That's like hiring Planned Parenthood to run a hospital nursery. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the morning after. Morning after the latest debate last night amongst the Democrat presidential candidates. The debate was held in South Carolina, where there is a very important primary on Saturday this week. This was a debate last night that most analysts say former Vice President Joe Biden had to do extremely well. He has not done well in the initial caucuses, both in Nevada and in Iowa, and did not do well in New Hampshire. So South Carolina has been described as Biden's firewall. But as we were mentioning just a few moments ago, his poll numbers have dropped against Bernie Sanders in South Carolina. So Biden last night knew he had to be much stronger than he was in the debate last week. And one of his targets, he thinks, is a winner for him, is going after the NRA and gun manufacturers. So here's cut number three, Joe Biden.
I beat the NRA twice.
I got assault weapons banned. I got magazines that could not hold more than 10 rounds in them. I got them eliminated, except we had a thing called an election with hanging chads in Florida, and it was not reauthorized. In addition to that, I passed the Brady Bill with waiting periods. I led that fight. But my friend to my right and others have, in fact, also given to the gun manufacturers absolute immunity. Imagine if I stood here and said, we give immunity to drug companies. We give immunity to tobacco companies. That has caused carnage on our streets. 150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from liability. More than all the wars, including Vietnam, from that point on. Carnage on our street. And I want to tell you, if I'm elected and I'm coming for you and gun manufacturers, I'm going to take you on and I'm going to beat you. I'm the only one who's done it.
Yeah, you may have heard in there that Biden suggested 150 million people have been killed by guns since 2007. Now, I heard that last night. This doesn't sound right. So did some checking this morning, got some numbers from the Center for American Progress. Here's what the heavily inflated figure misrepresented gun deaths in America since 2007. From 2007 to 2017, the number of firearm deaths in the U.S. was 373,663. This number includes both violent firearm deaths and unintentional or accidental deaths, according to the Center for American Progress. So where did Joe Biden get the idea 150 million people killed by guns since 2007? I mean, even without looking at the official stats, that number sounds so wacky last night. But that was Joe Biden. It'll be interesting to see if anybody today kind of challenges him on that officially. 150 million people? That's almost half the American population since 2007. But Joe Biden continues to struggle, folks. And Senator Tim Scott was on Fox and Friends this morning. This is going to be cut number 13, Devin. Senator Tim Scott was on this morning talking about giving his analysis. He's a Republican senator from South Carolina on Biden's numbers slipping. And if he doesn't win the primary by 10 points, his campaign may be over. Cut number 13.
Congressman Clyburn will be endorsing, we believe, Joe Biden in about 2 hours. What does that mean for Joe Biden?
Well, it probably means an increase in African-American votes for Joe Biden. The truth of the matter is, 3 weeks ago, Brian, 3 weeks ago, Joe Biden had a 30-point lead in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. It is now down to 4 to 4.5 points. That says that Bernie Sanders has doubled his black vote in South Carolina, and that means that Biden now needs someone to come rescue him, and Jim Clyburn's endorsement mm-hmm. will be part of that rescue strategy, but it won't make enough of a difference. If Biden does not win by 10 points or more on Saturday, Super Tuesday might be the collapse
of
the Biden campaign.
Senator, your prediction on South Carolina on Sunday morning, what's going to happen?
I think you'll see about 26% for Joe Biden. You see Bernie Sanders coming in around 20 or 23%. And Tom Steyer, who will be losing votes if, in fact, Clyburn endorses Joe Biden, you'll see him fall down from his numbers from 15 to probably 13 or 12. Those numbers will come from Steyer, not from Bernie Sanders.
Interesting.
All right, there you have it. That was Senator Tim Scott, Republican from South Carolina, giving his assessment on the debate last night, but also what it means if Joe Biden, even if he wins South Carolina on Saturday, but if it's a small percentage point, what does that say about Super Tuesday coming up this coming Tuesday? So we'll have to wait and see on that. You know, there was another interesting, some comments last night on education. And I thought it was really interesting, contrasting views between former mayor of New York, Bloomberg, and Elizabeth Warren on where they see education going and the federal government's involvement with education in our country. So let's first hear from former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who was asked about charter schools in New York City, an initiative that he started when he was mayor of that city. Cut number one.
A key element of your response to failing schools in New York City was a dramatic increase in public charter schools. As president, would you pursue that same strategy and seek to expand charter schools nationwide?
I'm not sure they're appropriate every place. I can only tell you in New York, they provided parents with an alternative to send students to them. We had the charter schools are mixed in with the non-charter public schools because our charter schools are public schools as well. They've helped each other. I saw a statistic the other day. When I came into office, zero New York City schools were in the top 25 of the state. When I left, 23 out of 25 were from New York City. We've cut the gap between the rich and the poor. We've made an enormous difference in all of the options that parents have. I raised teachers' salaries by 43%. I put an extra $5 billion into our school system. I value education. It is the only way to solve the poverty problem is to get people a good education. And rather than just talk about it in New York, we actually did it.
All right. So there you have former mayor of New York, Mike Bloomberg, talking about his approach to education. He's all in on charter schools, helping kids, whether it's low-income kids, to get into better schooling systems because he realizes the importance of education. Sounds a whole lot like a Republican there for a moment. But I'll tell you what, just seconds later, Senator Elizabeth Warren jumped in, and she has a very different view about where taxpayers' money should be going when it comes to education. Cut number two.
So this is one thing where a president can make a big difference all by herself. And I'm going to start with my Secretary of Education. My Secretary of Education will be someone who has taught in public school. My Secretary of Education will be someone who believes in public education. And my Secretary of Education will believe that public dollars should stay in public schools. One more thing. My Secretary of Education will believe that it is time to get rid of high-stakes testing. We need to support our children. But look, we want to build a future in this country. We build a future by investing in our children. I've got a plan to put $800 billion new federal dollars into our public schools.
Thank you, Senator.
Education is not free. We must invest in the future of our children.
Senator. All right, so you heard it there from Senator Elizabeth Warren. If she was elected President of the United States, she'd spend an extra $800 billion on public schools. She also said, she made it very clear, no money going to charter schools, forget about vouchers, don't know where she stands on homeschools. That might be interesting to explore a little bit, but she is all in on public schools only. She went on to say, it wasn't in that clip, she would ensure every teacher in this country makes a minimum of $60,000 a year. Now imagine if you're small city somewhere, 10,000 people, and the federal government is going to demand that you pay your teachers in that town, that city, $60,000 minimum every year. What does that do when you have a small tax base where you draw that salary from? You know what that means? That means more federal government heavy-handedness involved in every education decision in this country. That was started by Barack Obama. Elizabeth Warren would continue the very same thing. Public schools only, and that's the only way federal public education dollars would go. All right. Also, last night, very interesting, the issue of Israel came up, and what would happen if a Democrat gains control of the White House, what would their approach be to Israel? Now, this is Bernie Sanders, cut number nine, and what he has to say about Israel and the current prime minister there, Netanyahu. Cut number nine.
I am very proud of being Jewish. I actually lived in Israel for some months. But what I happen to believe is that right now, sadly, tragically, in Israel, through Bibi Netanyahu, you have a reactionary racist who is now running that country.
Yeah, that's really going to improve our relationship with Israel, calling Netanyahu a racist. And, of course, Bernie Sanders, very pro-Palestinian, no question about it. He was asked, by the way, and he really waffled on this, whether he would move the U.S. embassy back to Tel Aviv from Jerusalem. In fact, they all kind of waffled on that. Very interesting this morning, Tony Gatz, who is a conservative talk show host, responded to what Bernie Sanders had to say about Israel. Cut number 10.
We should be clear about what it is that we saw here. And Bernie Sanders needs to understand that when you take the endorsement of Ilhan Omar, when you take the endorsement of Ocasio-Cortez, who likes to buddy up with Jeremy Corbyn, a virulent anti-Semite, when you have a surrogate like right. Amir Czar, who is the guy who in Rashida Tlaib's office placed the Palestine post-it note over Israel, wiping it off the map, you don't get to talk about the problems of Bibi Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu has done more for America and more for humanity than Bernie Sanders has ever done. Bibi Netanyahu is a better man than Bernie Sanders. And anybody who doesn't understand it, whether they be Christian or Jewish or what have you, is what we call verblungeten Kopf. They're out of their mind. This was embarrassing and pathetic from Bernie Sanders. And he needs to take a strong look in the mirror and maybe a sit down with a rabbi who isn't just like him.
All right, there you have it. That assessment from Tony Gatz on what we could expect from a President Bernie Sanders when it comes to this country's relationship with Israel. And folks, I say it without apology. I go back to what Scripture says. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. And Bernie Sanders, there is no question about it, has a negative attitude when it comes to Israel. And our relationship, the United States relationship with Israel, would be radically changed from the mouth of Bernie Sanders himself. All right, there was one more thing, of course. Bernie Sanders has been taking some heat for his comments in praising Cuba and the communist government of Cuba. So he was asked about that last night. It was very interesting, his response, saying his views on Cuba are very little different from what Barack Obama's views on Cuba were. Now, he tried to make that point. And so we're going to hear from Bernie Sanders, but we're also going to hear from Charles Payne, who was on Fox and Friends this morning and offering his assessment of where Bernie is on Cuba. Cut number 14.
What I said is what Barack Obama said in terms of Cuba, that Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think, really? Really?
Yes, literacy because there's
programs
no comparing
are bad.
Those two comments.
What Barack Obama said
Obama
is they
doing,
made great progress on education and health care. That was Barack Obama.
I have to say that in many respects, Bernie Sanders is the logical outcome of Barack Obama. And it's not just on Cuba. It's on forgiving college fee, tuition. Barack Obama planted that seed. Almost everything that Bernie talks about to the extremes were planted by Obama, including the trip to Havana. Go back and look at the news in 2016. It was the new falling of the Berlin Wall. It was the end of the final chapter of the Cold
the
War. 1,200 people went down in a delegation. Yeah. President Obama did the wave of Raul Castro. I mean, you know, there was a serious push to normalize Cuba. And so why is anyone shocked that this is what we've seen out of that? I mean, this is almost all of Bernie's things, his ideas, you know, under the Obama's presidency, those seeds were planted. He's taken them to the extreme, but we knew they would grow, and he's the one who's latched onto it.
I thought that comment from Charles Payne, those comments were extremely interesting. Now, what is Charles Payne saying there? That Bernie Sanders' radical ideas are really where the Democratic Party has been going. And Charles Payne says it all started back with Barack Obama. You see, what was happening when Barack Obama was president, the mainstream media loved him and did not challenge him on his viewpoints. And Charles Payne takes us back to where Obama was with Cuba. Remember that. Payne takes us down memory lane a little bit, and it makes perfect sense. The ideology of the Democratic Party is to move the country to the far, far left. Bernie Sanders, give him credit for it, he is at least open as to where he stands on these things, even though he's dead wrong. But those other Democrats who were on the stage last night, if they believe in the ideology of the Democratic Party, they're not behind, far behind Bernie Sanders. All right, we want to hear from you. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Anything you heard last night encourage you, or does it kind of confirm what you've been thinking about these Democrat candidates? What do you think of an America under any of these Democrat candidates? 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Fred sitting in for Sandy today. We want to hear from you when we come back right after the break.
They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. These words were shared between Cleopas and his companion on the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus as Jesus, in resurrected form, used the Hebrew scriptures to reveal himself to them as the Messiah. There are at least 109 distinct biblical prophecies the Messiah had to fulfill. The mathematical probability of such a feat occurring is astoundingly absurd, yet that absurdity is satisfied in Jesus, the Messiah. Come, let us adore him.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner. For more, from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Psalm 23 tells us that sometimes, by God's grace, we lie down in green pastures next to quiet waters. Life is peaceful, tranquil, and serene. But other times, we must walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where things are dark and dangerous. The assurance of Scripture is that you are not alone in that valley. Your shepherd is walking with you, right there beside you, even though you don't see him. With his rod, he will drive away the spiritual forces of darkness which seek to overwhelm you. With his staff, he will lift you up when you fall and bring you through that dangerous valley to a broad and open place. He will push back the powers of darkness so they can only watch as you enjoy table fellowship with the Lord of glory. His goodness and mercy will follow you indeed all the days of your life.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Philip Haney, one of the nation's foremost counter-jihadists, was found dead last week with a bullet wound to the chest. The local coroner quickly declared his death a suicide. On Monday, the authorities distanced themselves from that conclusion, saying the investigation was still underway. Those of us who knew, worked with, and loved Phil welcomed the correction. After all, he was planning to remarry soon, publish a sequel to his masterwork, See Something, Say Nothing, and return in a senior position to the Federal Department of Homeland Security, where, for 15 years, he brilliantly ferreted out and helped put away jihadist terrorists in America. Not least, Philip Haney feared he would be murdered and warned that it would be made to look like a suicide. His passing is a terrible loss either way, but we need to know the truth. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back. Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy today. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We're going to go to our phones in just a second. Just a couple of things, though. From Politico, headline story this morning, Bloomberg internal poll claims Bernie would sink down ballot Dems. Now, what's he talking about there? It's not just Bloomberg, but this has been talked about, that if Bernie Sanders was to become at the top of the ticket for the Democrats this fall, that Democrats underneath on those ballots would suffer. In fact, there are some that say of the 40 who were elected in 2018, 40 Democrats, and they took control of the House because of that, that at least half or more would likely lose because people who saw Bernie Sanders at the top of that ballot would say, I don't want him as president, and they would go negative against those House members, Democrat House members, who are seeking re-election. So that is a story that we're going to be watching, that's for sure. The other thing is that Bernie Sanders keeps talking about other countries are doing exactly what he is proposing for the United States. Came across an article the other day, and Denmark is mentioned as one of those countries, progressive countries. Why is Denmark, this is the title of the article, why is Denmark so expensive and are Danes just much wealthier than Americans? Well, listen to this. The higher cost of labor in Denmark, the de facto minimum wage is about, and this is U.S. dollars, $19 per hour, makes anything that requires a large amount of labor more expensive here. Restaurants, for example, are generally much more expensive, and most Danes cook and eat their meals at home. For most families, eating out is for special occasions, and Danish restaurants are much more thinly staffed because the restaurants can't afford people at that wage. Labor-intensive personal services, haircuts, massage, manicures, are easily twice to three times as expensive as they might be in the U.S. Everyone in Denmark, this is a continued quote from the article, everyone in Denmark pays a much higher percentage of their income in taxes. Even the poor, who are particularly hard hit by the 25% sales tax on just about everything. Also, unlike the U.S., everyone pays income tax. The lowest official rate is 28 to 30% of income, depending on municipality. This is even taken out of unemployment checks. You're unemployed, you get an unemployment check, they tax you at least that. By contrast, 45% of Americans pay no federal income tax at all. And no, that's not talking about billionaires. That's talking about people who fall below a certain level in their salary, and they pay no income tax at all. These are kinds of things, folks, that you have to know, because Bernie Sanders spews these things, and the mainstream media do not check them on the realities of all these things. So the next time when you hear Bernie Sanders or another Democrat talk about how great things are in other countries that are more socialist, look the facts up for yourself. All right, let's go to Texas first. And Jennifer is on the line this morning. Good morning, Jennifer. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Yes, hi. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Great. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just have a quick question.
Sure.
I find it odd that in the 1950s, Hollywood was going after communists. And now you get someone who stands up on stage and remarks, you know, makes a Marxist remark. And they're clapping, and the media is supporting the socialist agenda. You know, I don't understand why they're doing this when one of the first things that's going to happen if a socialist gets in power is that their freedom of expression and freedom of speech are going to be taken away.
Yeah, well, Jennifer, that is a great question. We appreciate that, and I can tell you the answer to it, because our education system over the last 30 to 40 years has hatched and incubated the idea that socialism is much better than capitalism, that people are oppressed under a capitalist system. And so we've reached the point, and this kind of indoctrination on socialism has continued through J schools, journalism schools. And so now you have, and this is not my opinion, Pew Research years ago started to track how most mainstream media vote. 90% of the mainstream media votes Democrat. 90%. That's according to Pew Research. So when you see the media totally in bed with the Democrat socialist agenda, that is the reason. And they've lost all effort not to be biased. They are totally biased against President Trump, who is an unapologetic capitalist who believes in the free enterprise system. And that is why the media celebrates. I mean, they love Barack Obama, and they, for the most part, they like the Bernie Sanders, and they certainly want a Democrat in the White House. They cheered the Democrats. They cheered the Democrats. If you followed the media coverage of the impeachment of the president, they were all in with Adam Schiff, the head of the Democrat effort. All in. They love what Nancy Pelosi did when she decided to impeach. So that is why you have right now the media working hand in hand with the Democratic Party to defeat Donald Trump. That is the reason why Donald Trump keeps talking about fake news. That's simply it. Go ahead.
I think that they believe that if Bernie Sanders or some other socialist gets in power, that somehow they're magically not going to have their freedoms impeded on.
That's actually what they believe, Jennifer. But a quick reminder about what happened with one reporter when Barack Obama was in the White House. His work was being tracked by the White House. I forget the reporter's name right now. Beg pardon?
Rosen.
Yeah, James Rosen. Fox News, I believe it was. Yeah. So you're exactly right, Jennifer. They're forgetting all of that. But you want a mainstream media that's going to be controlled by the White House? That could well happen under a Democrat. All right, let's go to Jim in Mississippi. Good morning, Jim. Go ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, sir.
Okay. Well, my comment was on the debate last night and the one before. The president don't have to do too much researching because they're all telling on themselves. So they're proving the president's case whoever wins debate with the president. All the president just got to do is just bring all the things up that they've said about each other. And it's a win-win for him because they are blasting one another. They're bringing all the spider webs out of each other's closets.
Yeah. Jim, I tell you what, it is a clear demonstration of the difference in political policy ideology between what President Trump has been practicing since he was elected, doing all those things that he promised, and what, for example, Bernie Sanders promises to do. There is no question there will be a radical change in this country. I think this election this fall will be one of the clearest with regards to distinctions between the agenda of the two parties. I think it's going to be very, very clear. And at the end of the day, I mean, the electorate, those people who go into the voting booth, are the jurors as to where they want this country to go. Very plain and simple. All right, to Texas once again, and I believe it's Cindy. Good morning, Cindy. Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, I just had a comment on the clip you played of Joe Biden, how he made the comment about, imagine if gun manufacturers had no liability, you know, or he said they have no liability. Imagine if the drug companies had no liability. Well, the fact is, somebody needs to fact check him because the drug companies have zero liability for harm to children from vaccines.
Yes.
And that was from the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of carnage from that. And I think somebody needs to fact check him and remind him of that.
Yeah, and that's the problem, Cindy. Quite often the mainstream media is not doing their job when they're fact checking. I also go back to Joe Biden's comments, and we talked about this a few moments ago, that 150 million people have been killed by guns since 2007. And of course we did some checking on our own this morning on that, and that figure, no one knows where Joe Biden got that figure. 150 million, half the population of America killed by guns since 2007. I mean, that doesn't make sense even to, I'm sure, most Democrats. I would hope so anyway. But let's see if Joe Biden gets fact checked on that today. We say good morning to Gina. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Gina.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to let you and your audience know about the Epoch Times. It's a newspaper, and I've subscribed to it, and I'm very, very pleased with it because it does not lean to the degree that everything else in the media is leaning to. Also, we have grandparents. We need to, every month, do a lesson to our children about real history. Hmm. Because I wish my grandbabies were homeschooled like I homeschool my child, but their mother doesn't agree with that. So I'm not going to stop there. I am going to teach them history, which is one of my loves in my life, because if we know what we've done wrong and we forget it, we will repeat it, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, the computers have all that history. You can make little lessons and teach them the truth, and you can show up at the schools, have lunch with them, and start curtailing this socialist. I come from Colombia. I'm an adopted citizen to this country. We came legally, and I can tell you, Venezuela, you never hear about anything in the news in Venezuela. Guess why? Mm. Because it is a disaster. It is a total disaster over there. Humanity is starving. There's no zoos. They've eaten all the animals in the zoo. There are no cats, no birds, because these people are eating whatever they can eat. Mm. Trump sent containers full of food. The Venezuelans came across the border to Colombia from where I'm from and set them on fire because they're genociding anybody that does not support the current socialist government.
Well, Gina, you've just said it. We don't get those kinds of reports. And Gina, I'm sure glad that you became one of us here in the United States of America, because we need more outspoken ideas like yours. And I love your idea. If the main school system in this country, education system, they are trying to rewrite history. And it's up to responsible moms and dads like you, Gina, to make sure the kids know our exact history, know where this country came from, know the values it was founded upon. And sadly, for the most part, now there are exceptions, but for the most part, our education system is certainly getting a failing grade in that. To New Mexico and Eric. Eric, you're up early this morning.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead.
I just would like to say to the American people, I'm a Republican and conservative and always have been. And to my fellow Americans, during the next election, the country will not survive another Democrat president. Mm. How biased they are and how much hatred they have for this president means that they had the same hatred for everyone in this country. The country will not survive it.
Eric, and I think that goes to, it's Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables. I think the Democratic Party, they respect people in New York and Los Angeles, but the people in the middle, they would just like to probably say, I wish we don't have to count those votes because they disagree with us. But there's millions of Americans who understand what's going on. They don't make the nightly TV programs for their opinions. And quite often, quite frankly, as we learned in 2016, certainly the polling then in 2016 was dead wrong. And I think a lot of the pollings that you're seeing right now are wrong, too. I'd like to know where they're calling, who they're talking to and where those people live, because that has a tremendous bearing on where people are in their political philosophy. I think we have time for one more. We'll try Melanie in Texas. Go ahead, Melanie. You got about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, real fast, Mr. Jackson. Number one, the Lord's prerogative, his favor is not fair. I wish Mr. Sanders knew his Jewish Bible, especially the verse that said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Amen. John MacArthur has a sermon entitled Overcoming Materialism, where he makes the point that the Lord deals with nations and individuals financially. Sometimes it's the only way the Lord can get a person's or a nation's attention.
Amen. Melanie, we thank you so much. And those are great points, and great points to end this program on. It's been great to be with you today. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy this morning. Lord willing, she'll be back in the chair tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, much great programming ahead on this day on American Family Radio. You have yourself a great day and be a blessing to someone. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.